is the concept of kri uksiv. And this Bali Kriya will know that there are places in the Torah that there's a word written and we pronounce it a little differently than you would think to pronounce it. That's a concept of Yeshem Lamikra, Yeshem Lamisaras. Beyond that, there are words that one word is written and you say something else, or you just don't read the word. There are, in all of Tanakh, there are over 1,000 of these concepts of kri uksiv, which translated very broadly means you don't read the word that is in front of you. Now, a possible part two, I have to see how excited people get about part one, is Shem Hashem. And this I remember as a little kid, nobody ever explained it to us until I got yelled at for reading Yud Kei Vav Kei, but that's what was written. And in second grade, you ask a kid to read, and I read it, and I think I got kicked out of class. But when it says Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're supposed to read it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, right? So that could be its own parsha, right? You read Yisachar, it looks like Yisachar, and you read it Yisachar. That again could be its own parsha. But you have many words that you read differently than the way they are written. Now this is dealt with in the Gemara in Nedarim. The Gemara in Nedarim Lamed Zayin says, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra Sofrim, V'Iter Sofrim, V'Kriyan, V'Lo Ksivan, U'Ksivan, V'Lo Kriyan, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So what we're dealing with is Kriyan V'Lo Ksivan, reading something that isn't written, or it's written, but you don't read it, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Ran in Nedarim, take a look at number two. Kriyan v'lo ksivan tevos hanikros v'lo nichtivu. Ksivan v'lo kriyan shenichtavos ve'enan nikros. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, kach kiva Moshe b'Sinai u'matzar li'Yisrael. This is the traditional approach, that this is how God told Moshe, right? He said, write these letters, but tell them, when you're telling them how to pronounce it, tell them to pronounce it differently. Now, we're all friends here. I will let you in on another way of interpreting this. Not from academics, from traditional sources. The Tiferes Yisrael says that in the 1700s, number three, Matsinu kama pa'amim bashas, deka'amar beferesh halacha l'moshe misinai, ve'eno dafka. Right? So you're taking this is how God told Moshe. Right? Now, one of the problems is that most of the kri ksivs are in Nach and not in Torah, right? So one of the differences between Torah and Nevi'im is in Nevi'im, God didn't necessarily, or Suvim for sure, God didn't tell them what to write. He gave them the Nevuah and then they decided what to write. Now there could be a difference between the kri ksiv in Torah and the kri ksiv in Nach. But the Tiferes Yisrael says, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is not meant to be taken literally. In Rak Ratzalomar, Dabar Chazak, Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Right?
Does he mean that all the time?
No. He says, and this makes things very confusing. This is the tradition of not always saying what you mean and not always meaning what you say.
No, I'm saying, when you say Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, we take that as...
I know. And the Ran does, and comes to Tiferes Yisrael and says, sometimes it's not meant to be taken literally. Sometimes it means this is what God said, and sometimes it means we are supposed to treat it as if God said it, and it will become clear why they would have used that phrase about this.
He doesn't discuss how he holds.
And how do you know when?
How did it come about? In this case, how did it come about?
No, so he doesn't, but the Radak and the Abar Benel will.
Any theories on why Hashem would do it?
We'll get there. Ksivan v'lo kriyan, and his example is, this is a famous Tiferes Yisrael, Ksivan v'lo kriyan halach l'moshe misinai, v'kachashiv hasam kama kray de Nevi'im uksuvim, which actually the first examples are from Nevi'im uksuvim. If you were trying to illustrate a concept of God told them to write it this way, you would first pick the examples of the Torah. So from here, the Tiferes Yisrael, who again, we're not dealing with an academic. Tiferes Yisrael does say some things that are considered a little controversial, but he claims that it does not mean that God actually told Moshe to write it like this, and he has another example. Now, he doesn't explain why. Why would they say, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and why do we have a concept of Kri Ksiv unless God told Moshe to write it this way? Comes the Radak and the Abarbanel. Radak says, number four, Gam Echtov Tam Ksuv V'Kri V'Kasuv V'Lo Kri U'Kri V'Lo Kasuv Kasher Uchal L'Seis Tam L'Shneem Kol Achad V'Achad B'Mkomo V'Nira Ki Hamilos Ha'Ela Nimtzu Ukein Lefi She'Begalus Rishona Avdu Hasvarim V'Nitaltalu V'Achachamim Yodei Atora Mesu V'Anshe Knes HaGedola She'Echzira Atora L'Yoshna Matsu Machlokes B'Svarim. Basically, there was a standard, this is the text we use, and then what happened? You had after Gullus, right? They wanted to put back the authoritative Torah, and they found different versions. So what do you do? Halchu b'hem achar harov l'fi datam uvemakom shelo hisiga datam al habirur kasvu ha'echad v'lo naktu. O kasvu mibachutz v'lo kasvu mibifnim v'chein kasvu b'derech echad mibifnim v'derech achar mibachutz. And they came up with their own system. Most things they went with Rove. And some things they decided to leave two compelling versions in. This will be read, but we want to keep a memory of this.
This creates
means written in the Torah.
Yeah. This creates an enormous problem.
What?
Because
it means that the Torah that we have, Torah is Mi-Sinai.
Well, sort of.
So this is why this is, we only give this year among friends. This is, the Radak is claiming there is a, and this gets into the Rambam's Iker, number 8, Torah Mi-Sinai, that we believe in Torah Mi-Sinai, but do we believe that everything in our Torah is exactly the way Moshe got it?
Better be.
The Radak is leaving open that there was
a possibility that it's not.
That there was a God gave us a system of Rove, meaning, and I believe we now understand why the Gemara wanted to use the phrase Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, because they want to strengthen this idea that Ezra has a problem. He has all these Torahs. He doesn't know which one is right. He uses Rove. He comes up with a technique. But we want you to know that whatever he did was based on what God wanted him to do. And we are supposed to follow this Torah. Now, this isn't the way they usually teach it. And I'll show you a response of the Maharal. This isn't the conventional way. I figured I would mention it. Yeah. Maybe it needs another shear.
Are you saying that this already started in Ezra's time?
Yes. This is from Ezra. And Rabbi Weinberg took issue with the phrase. Somebody took the Rambam's Ikrim and paraphrased them. Ani Mamin, that the Torah we have is exactly the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was given. Now, we already know that Atemani Torah has one word at least spelled differently. There's an Aleph versus a Hey in Suadaka between Ashkenazi Torahs and Temani Torahs. But according to the Radak, there could be other differences, right? And this is one of the reasons you have a Torah Shebaal Peh and a Torah Shebichsav, that the Torah Shebaal Peh is is not going to be affected by the same types of potential problems as a Torah Shebichsav. When things are written, there is potential for things to be written incorrectly. When things are kept alive by memory, you also have that potential. Between the two, You have a system that hopefully keeps things intact. But according to the Radak, and again, this is, I didn't make this up, and the Tiferes Yisrael is clearly working with one of these. Otherwise, why is he telling you Halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai does not mean this is what God told Moshe, right? Why would he say that? He obviously is working with a Radak or an Abarbanel who says Ezra, he comes, right? He finds these Torahs, they don't all agree, he paskins based on Rove, and in some places, he decides, we don't know what pushed him in that direction, here I'm going to put two different versions in, or I'm going to put it in, but I don't want you reading it. Or I want you reading it, but I'm not going to put it in. This is a Radak. Abarbanel, And the Abarbanel is more controversial than the Radak. And in Ner Israel, I'm told they don't have an Abarbanel on the shelf. You know, that's before the internet, that's what took Bachram off the derech, you know, Abarbanel. The joke about the Abarbanel was, if you read his parish on the Torah, he asks, let's say, 12 to 20 questions on each parsha, and then he starts answering them one by one. And they used to say that the Abarbanel turned people into Kofrim, because by the time you're done with the questions, you have no time to learn any of the answers. So if you go through the Abarbanel, you're just left with questions.
We have that famous Gemara where Moshe saw Rabbi Akiva, mm-hmm. and yeah, he didn't know what he was talking about, and then he said, Halach L'Moshe Misinai. Moshe didn't know what he was talking about either. So the right. term Halach L'Moshe Misinai from that Gemara, it shows...
That's a good example. This is a machlokas between, again, the Tiferes Yisrael and others, when it says in the Gemara that God taught Moshe all the Torah, does that mean he actually fleshed it out? Or he taught him the Torah that he needed plus the rules? So certain things, if he didn't say it then, it would never be discovered. But certain things, these are the hermeneutic principles. This is how you will derive. But Moshe Rabbeinu, at his time, didn't know everything. It wasn't until things were developed later, and at Chasimas HaTalmud, by that point, there is now, you know, a stop to the development, at least on that level. And that's important to keep in mind. The Abarbanel writes, similar to Radak, he doesn't quote him. You know, Avlina, let's do a shiur on Ikra number 8, maybe next week. Amisa ta'inyan etzlihu, she'ezra ba'anshe kneses ha'gedola. Now remember, Ezra and Anshe Knesset HaGedola, that's the end of the Nevi'im. Matzu Sifrei HaTorah B'Shleimusam V'Tamusam K'mo She'Nichtivu V'Kodem She'is Or Ezra Lasos HaNikud V'Atamim V'Sofei HaPsukim Iyein B'Mikra V'Advar M'Sher Nira Elav Zarim K'V'Teva HaLashem V'Kavanas HaSipor Chasha B'Atmo Shehaya Zel Achad MiBeisibus. This is a little bit of a different narrative. He says Ezra was HaSofer. He was the one who was going to write the tradition of what they had in terms of the psukim and the nikud, and some things just looked strange to him. So what did he do? He decided that things that looked strange were strange for one of two reasons. Im shekiven hakose bedvarim hazara meim sod min hasodos misisrei haTorah. He says maybe it doesn't make sense on the rational level, but this is a sod. We don't always understand everything. If something didn't make sense, he said, maybe this is just beyond us, so he didn't want to erase it. Right? Some of these, Kriq Siv, is just Na'aras written without a hey. Looks like Na'ar. Why would it be written like that? We now have many drushes based on that, but Ezra looked at that and said, it doesn't seem right, but this is what the Torahs traditionally have. I'm going to leave it alone, but we're going to read it the way I think it should be read.
Well, just a letter, Aleph or a Hey, for example, it doesn't change the sound.
Well, Na'ar versus Na'ara.
True. But if it's an...
But that's less than Yishkalena and Yishkavena, right? Which is the classic. V'lachein hinicham b'chsav mibifnim k'mo she'nichtav ha'amnam sam mibachutz hakri shehu perish hakasov hazar ha'hu k'viteva ha'lashen u'pshitas ha'inyan. But then he wrote the way it should be vowelized based on, you know, what he thought sounded correct. U'mizeh hamin timsa kol hakri uksiv shebetorah shemoshe kasav tamid melech tzvayim u'lefi shebizman hakadam kacha yashmo. And he gives an example of this. But basically, this was Ezra. This was Ezra's way of keeping the Mesorah, but also doing something that made sense to him.
So he decided whether it's Nara or Nara.
Correct. It was written... So this also gives a lot of... So comes the Tiferes Yisrael, the Maharal. And Maharal was a real traditionalist. He writes about these.
What years were we talking about?
Abarbanel is in the 15th century, late 15th century. Radak is, I believe, 13th century Spain. Tiferes Yisrael Maharal is the 16th century.
And Ezra?
What?
Ezra?
Ezra was B.C. Comes to the Maharal, and Maharal was super traditional, and he argues on these types of approaches. Take a look. Did you have a question?
No, I mean, according to this, Ezra was the first, commentator on Chumash.
Yes.
Because he basically commented,
Now, the Radak and the Abarbanel are saying something very different, but they're both saying that Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai does not mean that Moshe's Torah had this. This started with Ezra, according to the Tiferes Yisrael.
So Ezra really edited the Torah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's not the original.
According to this, correct. And this is why the Maharal is going to take issue. And this isn't the traditional pshat. I'm not saying this is the traditional way of understanding this. I just didn't want to give a shir on Kri Ksiv without acknowledging a Radak and an Abarbanel.
So how do they say Zosat Rasha?
So we'll get to that. We'll be another next time. This is a good topic.
There are not that many Kri Ksivs in the Torah.
In the Torah, it does not have a lot. In Nevi'im, if you have 1,068 or something, it's the over 90-something percent are in Nach and not in the Torah. Torah does not have a lot of them. Which next time, instead of Yudke Vavke, which maybe we'll do another time, I'll bring in all the examples so you'll see what we're talking about.
Can we sit farther down so it tastes lightning?
look at the Maharal. The Nedarim, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mikra Sofrim, Iter Sofrim, Kriyan Velo Ksivan, Ksivan Velo Kriyan, Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, Kfar Amarnu Beperek Shalifneza, She'ein Lomar B'Toras Hashem Shum Tikun Klal. The Maharal, protecting, traditional understanding, says you cannot say there was any change, anything fixed, right? Although there are certain Rashis that imply that somebody did change the text. Ve'ein Bo Shinoi, Kidivre Elokim Chaim Ein Bo Tosefes V'Giraun Klal, Lo Shinoi Lo B'Teva Lo B'Otzios Lo B'Nekudos, Rakakol Nimsar Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, like the Ron. This, everything was given to Moshe at Sinai, right? He doesn't even acknowledge the one case of Aleph and Hay in Suadaka.
What about Ezra?
So he does not acknowledge that happened. We don't have, it's not printed in any text that Ezra did this. Okay. This is their assumption. Lo kemok tzas. Asher heim min bale hadiktuk. Bale hadiktuk was always an insult. Till today, right? Uktas min achronim. Rai haya lahem. She yilachu afar bilashonam. Let them lick dust. Velo hayu kosvim daitam. And not write what they think. Ukama chasere das kiblu divrehem. And people without knowledge accepted what they said. Ki ilu haya davar pashav b'lichol eklal k'tasam b'kri uksiv uktasam b'ksiv v'lo kri. And he goes on to explain what we just saw in the Radak and the Abarbanel that the Tiferes Yisrael clearly likes. And he goes on to argue and say that no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented certain words. It should be written like this, and it should be read like that. And Yisachar and Yisachar is a nice example, although Midaktikim accepted as a grammar principle that appears three times in Tanakh only, that sometimes you have a double letter and only one is read. Divrei Hayamim has one, and Michayael, Machzerim, and Yisachar are the only three examples. Others say it's Kriyuksiv. That one of the sins is hinting to the fact that his father paid, right, for to switch beds that night, and it's not something you want to speak about. It's for some reason he wanted that in his name because that's how he was conceived, but it's not appropriate to talk about it, and that would set the stage for what a Kri Ksiv is. It's things that God wanted that pshat to be there, but he didn't want it to be verbalized. And Yishkavena and Yishkalena is a great example. That Yishkavena is like a nice way, right, to sleep instead of giving a very precise sexual connotation. Yishkavena is a nicer way of talking about it. But for some reason, the Torah wants the word to be there. So the Maharal says that's what Kriksiv is all about. That for some reason God wanted to communicate two ideas simultaneously, and he said it will be written like this, it will be read like that, and there, and that way you will have both ideas. And he goes on to say anybody who argues is ignorant and misunderstands the depth of Torah. And he, the Maharal really writes in very harsh language, as does the Malbim, number seven.
So the Maharal totally rejects this whole
completely rejects this idea, yes.
But don't we have a rule that says that you're not supposed to darshan two things from the same word?
You used that already this morning.
Yeah.
So, well, you have a concept of Ein Pasuk Yotze Midei Pshuto. So certain types of drushas, a word can't be used for two conflicting drushas. It does not mean that within one word you can have two ideas. A good example would be, it says ayin tachas ayin, right?
Right.
And Chazal understand that it means monetary. So why would you phrase it ayin tachas ayin? The Rambam writes that it's phrased that way to teach you that that's really what you deserve. It's just that we can't carry it out for medical reasons. You know, we can't make sure that you poke out his eye, maybe you have different levels of vision, the Gemara says. Maybe one person has better eyesight. Maybe when we take out your eye, we'll kill you or we'll damage you a little more. Maybe you depend more on your eyes for your parnassa than he did. So we can't really get exact punishment, but the Rambam says the Torah wants to teach you that that's what you deserve. And this is one of the, with this approach, this is really part of the depth of Torah, that God is able to communicate so many ideas with one word, with one letter, that you have all these levels of pshat and drash and remez and sod all within one word. And one of the tools the Maharal is saying is the concept of kriuksiv, that you have a word that's read one way and written another way, to, and that's one of the tools in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's toolbox. And this is, I mentioned the Radak and the Abarbanel, but this is the traditional way of understanding, that Ezra did not have any role in changing anything. And the Malbim, who later was one of those who battled against the Maskilim, also took a hardline position, number seven. V'lama zehi slonen ha-chacham ha-mavakar al asher bo b'sifrenu kri uksiv kaful me asher bo b'sfarim acherim. And this academic, you know, is asking why are there so many places that we have a variant reading from the way it's written. V'yuchach mizeh ki lo hayyodeh chukeh aksiv u'mishpateha. And somebody was mocking the Torah. The editor wasn't so good. Anochi dati rechoka midato beinyan sibas hakriu ksiv haba b'sfarim kvar biyarti b'makom acher ba'orech shahaya derech hazal lidrosh kol makom shabasham kriu ksiv sheladatam batamid hakri kfi apshat v'aksiv kfi hadrush shekein timsa tamid shedarshu hazal b'nuyim al aksiv v'lo al akri, etc., etc. Meaning, according to Ezra, like the Radak, there's no reason to be medayik in both. One of them is right and one of them is not right. According to the Abarbanel, there's a chance, although he says Ezra had a hand in this, there's a chance. Ezra was choshesh, maybe there's something to be said from the ksiv. And the traditional approach that the Maharal and Malbim are backing up is there's something to learn from both of them. Why did I bring this up? Not to challenge anybody's faith, not to bring up something that you never heard, although... And how are we going to deal with this Radak and Abarbanel? Either you'll say we sort of decided against it and the Rambam wouldn't agree with it and traditional Judaism goes with the Rambam, or there is a way to say even the Rambam could agree with this, which maybe we'll get to another time. But I think it's significant in terms of a machlokas that we're going to see right now. And the machlokas is, when you're reading the Torah, the nafka mina is, I'll present as follows. What happens if there's a little bit of wax that drips onto a word in the Torah? So the word is there, you know it's there, but you see that there's, right? You can make out that the letters are there, but you can't see it. You can't read it. There's a klal in the Gemara that you're not allowed to read Baal Peh. Now, there are a lot of Bali Kriya who I think definitely read Baal Peh, but that's another issue. They just, you know what I'm talking about.
Usually at the end of at the end of an Aliyah.
I have to tell you, I haven't leaned in a long time, but when you're leaning every week, you have to make a concerted effort to look inside. But that is the halacha, that you're not supposed to, Gemara Nedarim says, you're not allowed to read Torah Shebichtav Baal Peh. It's supposed to be read inside. What happens if some wax drips on the pasuk, right? So if it's a weekday, halacha is you're supposed to scrape it off. What about if it's Shabbos, right? So what happens if, so you can't read. You can't read that word. You have to put it away. What if it's on one of the words that's a creek sieve, right?
So you need it, in other words.
So do you need it or not? It says Yud Shin Gimel Lamed Nun Hey. You're not going to read that. You're going to read Yishkavena, right? And for argument's sake, beyond the scope of this year, it's on Hashem Hashem, which is very tricky because scraping is not pashut. It's an ala to erase the Hashem Hashem. It's on Yud Kei Vav Kei. You're not going to read Yud Kei Vav Kei anyway. You're going to read Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, right? So how do we view a creek sieve? Are you reading this word, but in this word, shin, right, gimel, is kaf. Yud kei vav kei, here, is red Adonai, or I'm looking at yud kei vav kei and I'm reading something else, baal peh. So we said that that's a machlokas, whether he's shem Hashem, but I'm using it as an example. Do I need to look at the text when I do a creek sieve? Or does the text need to be there, but, you know, I'm reading from memory, right? So if you take a look, this is a hard question to answer. The Radvaz has, yeah.
What's the Malbim's position? I mean, according to, he's like the Abarbanel?
Yeah, no.
I mean,
He's like the Maral. He says that it was there to offer added levels of drush, right? That it was in touch. And the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel actually says that Ezra wasn't sure in these cases. Abarbanel is much more traditional. The Radak is, you know, super different, saying Ezra has all these Torahs, and he wasn't sure which was right, so he paskin based on Rove. There were some times that he wasn't sure, and he left in a couple different versions to keep it, you know, and I guess Eliyahu HaNavi will decide. That is the most different shot, but for some reason the Tiferes Yisrael, and again, Tiferes Yisrael was pretty traditional parish on the Mishnah. He in Yoma Perik Beis Os Yud Beis, he thought it was important to tell us that Halach LaMoshe MiSinai does not always mean Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. His example is, he has two examples, and this is one of his examples, Kriyan Ksiv, and he is clearly working with the Radak. And possibly the Abarbanel. This is not the traditional approach.
Is the way we pronounce Yud Kei Vav Kei the way we do? Is that Halach LaMoshe MiSinai?
Yes. And that is, the Gemara Pesachim darshans that from another pasuk. So that already, that's a good question. Meaning, I don't believe that Radak would say the Yud Kei Vav Kei was, Ezra saw some text said Adonai and some text said Yud Kei Vav Kei. No. Radak is not going to say that over there. This would be a different level creek sieve. That's a good point. If it is a creek sieve, it's a different type of creek sieve. That's a good point. Right? They darshan a pasuk in the Gemara Pesachim Daf Nun that Hashem lo kishem shani nichtav ani nikra, and is a drasha. Comes the Radvaz. Number 8. Shalta mimeni odiacha. Da'ati derech kitzara, alinyan mikra sofrim, ve'itar sofrim, uksiv v'lo kri, ukri v'lo ksiv, Uksiv hachi bekari hachi shenira chas v'shalom sheyesh safek b'chsav asher b'yadenu. Now the Radvaz in Egypt is clearly coming to argue on the position of the Radak, and it's important to know when he's living there are a lot of Karaites, right? There are a lot of, could be a third of the people he was dealing with were not traditional, and somebody asked him, is Kriksiv mean that we don't know the right text, like the Radak said? And he says, no, tshuva, teda, ki kol ma she'ata ro'esh ha'shinuyim ha'kol halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, in the traditional sense, like the Ran, like the Maral, like the Malbim, this is how God gave Moshe the Torah. Yes. Ki ilu, v'hachi garsinan, b'perek ein bin ha'mudar, amar Rabbi Yitzchak, mikra sofer, mitra sofer, m'kriyan v'l'ksiv, m'ksiv l'kriyan halacha l'moshe mi'sinai, Ka'ela bikulan atatzarech lomar she'em halacha l'moshe mi'sinai she'yichtevu kach v'yikru'u kach. But he doesn't explain. So do you have to look? Rashba also doesn't seem to explain. Number 9. Sha'alta kevin she'asar likros b'torah afilu oz achas shelo min aksav ha'ech shatz kore yishkavena v'hu kasuv yishkalena v'chem b'chol teva she'kriu k'siv. He says, practical. How are you supposed to read the Torah? If there's a halakha that you're not allowed to read Baal Peh, and there's certain words that are not written, what are you supposed to do? What does he say? Tshuva zu halakha l'moshe mi'sinayu. That what? Then am I reading it, or am I doing it Baal Peh? So most poskim understand that this is Baal Peh. Take a look at the Olas Tamid, who was an early Achron, perish on the Shulchan Aruch, Kol Teva, Kein Kaza V'Tshuvas HaRashba, V'Kamash Malan, D'Lo Teima Kevin She'asar Likros Afilu Teva Acha Shalom Min Aksav, Im Kein, Ha'ech Korin Teva She'ishkaben V'Aksiv Hu Yishkalena, Al Kein Kaza V'Dechein Hu Alach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, Likrosam Kach.
That's an exception. Right? Is that what we're saying is exception to the rule of...
So the cross means to read it.
Yes. Yes. Now, why is this important? Meaning, I don't think if we went with the Radak, we have a big problem here. Right? Why would Ezra be allowed to make this exception? To write one and tell you to read something else? He has a problem of that you have to read it inside. Right? I think that would be a serious problem. The Olas Tamid is very clear. In the Rashba, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this as well, that you're reading it Baal Peh. Right? That word is read Baal Peh. And this seems to point to the traditional, it's an exception. God told Moshe, I want it written this way, I don't want it read this way. It's not a matter of suffix. If it was a suffix, Ezra would have had a trouble with this system. Because he would have had to see, if I come up with another system. Keep a list of these things that you thought were strange. But telling us you're going to write one thing and you're going to tell us to read something else is going to be difficult because of this claw.
But Ezra was trying to take two Masoros, right? Then you said and try to accommodate both of them.
But you'd have this problem. And those who are saying this is Halach L'Moshe Mi'Sinai, who are part of the traditional halachis, are all telling you, I think, working with the traditional approach, that God said, I want it written this way, I want it read this way, and it's a halach l'moshe mi'sinai that this is allowed to be read baal peh, because there's no word written for this version.
Well, what is Ezra and his door, his generation, supposed to do if they have two Sifrei Torah,
right.
You know, and one has a different sieve than the other?
Right.
So the halach
and we don't know if they intended.
That line has been broken somehow.
Yeah. So yes.
Is Radak saying that there was a mistake in the printing, and that's basically
that's what he's saying. Know, yes.
As the Torah was copied all these generations,
yes.
So we don't know what the
correct. Okay. Another thing that might have happened to Ezra is, and this is something the Chazanish took very seriously. They come back from Galus, and they find Torahs. Which ones were good ones, and which ones, you know, had been buried and found? The Chazanish takes that very seriously in the question of archaeology. It was mostly about things that were found in Genizas. So you have the Cairo Geniza, and we find all these things, and it clears many things up and creates other problems. And comes the Chazanish and says, all of it is inadmissible, because How do I know what's a good sefer, a not a good sefer, a good copy, not a good copy? And this is basically what the Radak is saying Ezra had to deal with. He sees these different things and he's got to decide, you know, which is right and which is wrong. And this is one of the issues with, you know, can you use archaeology? This would be another interesting sheer topic. Dr. Lyman has a fascinating article on this. Let's say we dug up and we found some tefillin are like Rabbeinu Tam and some are like Rashi. Would we? It happens to be that Lawrence Schiffman said they found more than both. Is the problem? that's the problem. And how do you know? And that probably was Ezra's dilemma. But leave out the Radak for now. The Olas Tamid is Medayik in the Rashba. What does the Rashba mean? Right? Why is the Rashba asking? It's a Mefurish Gemara. That this is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. He says what was bothering the Rashba is the klal, you can't read Torah B'chsav Bal Peh. And this is the answer. It's an exception. It's an exception.
So what did
just
they
one interesting
what
thing.
Did, what did yeah. they do when they had the 70 Chamei Chachamim with the Septuagint?
Mm-hmm.
What version did they have there?
According to the Radak.
According to anybody.
According to traditional approach, they had. There's always been one version preserved, and that's what they had. Even according to this, did they have? They would have had the Torah that Ezra had, you know, come up. This is the acceptable nusach. There is a fascinating, Gabayim should know this, number 15.
Was it after Ezra?
Yeah, that was after Ezra. Kol teva shi kri uksiv halacha l'moshe misinai shtei nichtava k'mosha hi b'torah v'nikras b'inyan acher u'masa be'echad shekara k'moshe hi k'suva. Shulchan Aruch doesn't usually tell stories, but here, the Baal Koreh, I don't know if he went to Kiddush first, I don't know if he had his shitas, but he insisted on reading it the way it was written. Bifnei Gedolei Hador, and his problem was the Gedolei Hador were there that day. Harav Yitzchak v'Harav Avram Valensi, Harav Shmuel Valensi Beno. So Harav Yitzchak Abuav and two Valensis. V'hisrevo sheyikrok via Mesora. They warned him. He didn't listen. Nihiduhu, they put him in Cherem Horidu Me'ateva. It was an exciting week in Shul. You didn't want to oversleep that week, you know.
You didn't want to be the rabbi that kind of.
But you see, I believe that Shulchan Aruch is clearly taking the traditional approach. This is, you know, this is the Mesora, right? What are you doing when you? And that's why this Radak and the Abarbanel were opposed, you know, so harshly by people like the Malbim and the Maharal, because it does raise a lot of questions. It certainly is not the traditional approach that Ani Mamin confirms that the Torah that we have is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu was given. most poskim understand that the Chiddush of this Rashba is you're allowed to read this Baal Peh. The Magen Avraham says it, the Aruch HaShulchan says it, and it brings us to this question of the wax. If that's the case, then when you have wax on a word that is kriksiv, don't worry about it. Just keep on reading. And that's what the Prima Gadim says, number 19. Avalim nafla shava aleha. Hine lefima shekazu b'shut mil tzedaka. Simen chafei b'sefer Torah shenimtza shava alateva yefshad likros klal. Lahabach demochek. Umikol makom baal peh atzer likros teva achas. Masha ain came bikriyan viksivan kahigab navada shari likros alpeh. You can read it balpeh.
Yeah.
You can read it balpeh. Now, what is troubling about that? I can read it balpeh, but isn't it supposed to be? It's supposed to be there. So the nafkamina. It's not like if you wrote a Torah without this word, the Torah would be puzzle. It needs to be there. But it's there. It's just covered over. And if I'm allowed to read it, Baal Peh, I don't have to look at it. I don't have to be able to see it. That's the Prima Gadim. But there's another way of learning this. And we'll have to think about the implications of this. The Shari Ephraim and Rav Moshe Feinstein, turn to the next page. The Shari Ephraim and Rav Moshe, I'll paraphrase in the interest of time. Rav Moshe has three tshuvas about this. And to me, this is the most exciting thing about Rav Moshe, is that, and Gedolei HaPoskim are like this, that there was nothing beyond, you know, his reach. What he was able to write three tshuvas on this nitty gritty ksiv and kri ksiv topic, and he understands in the Rashba that what the Rashba is not saying anything about the halacha, an exception of if it's written this way and read differently, you're allowed to say this baal peh. He claims that this is actually how this word is supposed to be read. The halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai is that you vocalize, and to take, you know, for example, the yud kei vav kei, right? The yud is actually read like an aleph. The hey is actually read like a dalet, right? The vav is read like a nun, and the other hey is
so
read
you
like
have
a yud.
Have the same number of letters. You always have to. I mean,
or one letter is going to be two. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't always work out like that. But Rav Moshe and the Shari Ephraim are convinced you have to look while you are reading, and therefore the Shevet Alevi at least claims that at first glance, based on the Shari Ephraim, you would have to put away that Torah that has wax on that, because you have to see that word, right? And going back to the, this is why one of the reasons I wanted to bring up that machlokas, although again traditional approach would definitely be in line with the Maharal. I think that according to the Radak, right, there's less reason to say you have to look at that word. To say that is very difficult. But according to the approach that, you know, God wanted it to be read, but written differently, then there's at least room. It's not mukhrach, but there's room to say you got to look at it while you're reading it. You got to see it while you're reading it. What makes this difficult is why. Why do I have to look at this while I'm reading it if I'm not going to read in a way that represents how these letters are usually read? The pashto seems to me to do this baal peh.
Getting slightly off topic.
Yeah.
Is that makavapakish, taking the wax off?
Taking the wax off, yes. To the extent...
Or is that another topic?
It is another topic. The question is, when you are scraping off and now making it a, I mean, there's questions about scraping wax in the first place, but assuming you could scrape the wax in a mutter fashion, is this like you're writing a letter? Is this like you're koshering a sefer Torah? Similarly, we don't do tefilas kelim on Shabbos because you're making something that wasn't usable. So that would also be there. One of the issues is that based on the Taz, the poskim say to scratch off wax might be a concept of chak tochos. I'm not allowed to, I have to write a letter. I can't scrape out or carve out I can't put black and then remove the black, remove the white and leave the black in the form. I have to actually write and not remove. I'm not explaining this well, but yeah,
like engraving?
You have to write. You can't. Yes, you can't. Chaktochos in writing.
Put a form there.
I can't remove the white space, and now the black space is left, and it's similar to Tasa Velomina Asoi. Now the black space is a bez. I have to write a bez, not take away the white surrounding it, which leaves a bez. So is removing the wax koshering the letter, but through chaktochos? There's a lot of literature on that, but at the end of the day, you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Would you have to take out another Sefer Torah if it's on one of the Kri Ksiv letters? Is going to be a machlokas pashtos between the Pri Megadim and Rav Moshe and the Shari Ephraim. And this brings us to one more fascinating concept. And what do you have? What happens when you don't have somebody who knows how to land? So Lahalacha, you're supposed to send somebody up there who at least, if he doesn't know Trump, at least he can get the words right. And you can tell him more or less to stop at the end of the Pasuk, which gets into the Kol Psukah de la Pasuka Moshe. Why can't I, right? Why can't I write in a Torah? We'll write the Torah properly and let somebody pencil in the Nekudos. Let them put in Nekudos. Why? It's not going to touch any of the letters. Right? If somebody would make a picture on the side of the Torah. Look in your Torahs. A lot of times they'll write Muga. They'll write that this has been checked. Right? It doesn't take away from the Torah. Right? So if I put in vowels, what would be the problem? And this would solve a lot of issues. You could go up. So the first that I know, the Radvaz and the Labush. So in the 16th century is the first place I know that they dealt with this. Take a look at the Labush, number 24. Sefer Torah HaMenukad Pasul. But he writes, and Mipnei Sheyesh Eim LaMikra VeEim LaMesoras. Because, and this is similar to what we're saying, there's some things that there's something you're supposed to learn from the way it's written and not the way it's read. And if I put in the nekudos that I never have the word in a form that I could learn from it differently. Right? And this brings it similar. You'd have to write in Yishkavena instead of Yishkalena.
You have to write in.
Right? But then I lose the Yishkalena, which is supposed to offer some level of understanding. Imenakto enkan mesoras, which he doesn't say, but includes our Kri Ksiv topic. Lefika chafilum hesiru mimeno hanikud pasol. Shekvar nichtava l'shem hanikud v'lo l'shem mesoras. That's already a chiddush. What if you... Somebody brings a beautiful Torah to the shul and it has nekudos. Okay, you have to scratch them out. Lavush says, no, you'd have to rewrite the whole thing. Because the word was never, that would take a while. The Radvaz also has a tshuva. He seems to get more Kabbalistic, but says the same thing. That there is a message HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to communicate with the letters themselves, independent of the vowels. The letters of the Torah, they carry their own message. Right? And again, I think this is very relevant to Kri Ksiv, according to the traditional approach. Not the Radak, which we'll call the more academic approach. God wanted to communicate many layers of depth through the Torah, and sometimes that's communicated in the way it's written. Right? Osios machkimos. The tzura of the letters. That's why you're supposed to look at the letter, at the word, when you're reading it. And because there's something to be communicated. And based on this, I think there's more grounds to say, like Rav Moshe and the Shari Ephraim, that for some reason God wanted the Baal Kori to look at Yishkalena when he said Yishkavena. For some reason, he wanted you to look at this word and read it differently. That's part of the way it was communicated. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do that because we're not sure.
Right.
By hand, we say both one the Kri and one, you know.
Good. So according, so this is something that I was wondering in the Radak. Do we know if Ezra intended? According to the Radak, Ezra wrote some things on the side. We ended up reading them one way and writing them another. Is that what he intended? Or did he intend for you to do both? We don't know. Right? But we take it that he, again, probably because we traditionally we reject this Radak, we take it that one is supposed to be written and one is supposed to be read. And according to Rav Moshe and the Shari Ephraim, it's not just supposed to be there. It's supposed to be read differently. But you have to look at it. Which makes sense, right? Because
you're still reading.
Because it's for some reason this is part of the pshat. It's not just read Yishkavena. Look at Yishkalena and read Yishkavena as part of the what's supposed to happen. So yeah.
But what are we supposed to learn from the fact that it's Yishkei Bavkei and we pronounce it as another?
That's what we'll get to next time. So according to that, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch and Siman Hey, the Mechaber says it offers two different dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Adnos is Adon Kol, and Yudkei Vavkei is HaYahova V'Yiyah. And therefore, how did God communicate both of that? Through this idea of, he'll be written one way and read another way. comes from Moshe Sternbach, and this is something I had this idea at Hopkins, and later I found we had trouble sometimes with Bali Kriya. They wanted to do it themselves. Except for Megillah, I rarely land, and when Sasha was there, he took care of us. But I said to myself, you know, let's create some kind of thing to put over the Torah that has Nekudos, right? Can you do that? So Rav Moshe Sternbach, one of these, right? The Torah was written properly, but I'm going to put, right? So if we take a step back, if the Torah is supposed to be, the word has to be there, like the Levush is saying, right? You have to see it without Nekudos, then maybe it doesn't possible the Sefer Torah, but maybe it possibles the way I'm reading it. So Rav Moshe Sternbach, 26, last page. Kriyas HaTorah Yidei Hanachas Gilyon Shakuf. See-through, transparent. Sheksubim Botamim Agabe HaSefer Torah. B'davar Shela B'beis HaMedrash Sheshchiach She'en Sham Ba'akorish Yodei Likros B'Sefer Torah U'matzu Eitza Lahaniach Gilyon Nylon Shakuf Shekasov Alav HaTamim Agabe HaSefer Torah Va'osiyas HaSefer Torah Ro'en Derech HaNylon. Boven ze yuchal kol echad likros imatam. Hay mutar lasos ken. Isn't that ingenious? Nira lomar. So his first thing he says in this paragraph is, you're not seeing the Sefer Torah directly. Now you're, and this is, you're allowed to wear glasses because the way the poskim understood it, it's enhancing your eyes' ability. But you're not allowed to read the Torah through any kind of cover because you're not looking directly at the Torah. And this is
a magnifying glass.
So according to that, you wouldn't be allowed to put a magnifying glass.
Why? That's the same glasses.
So they look at a difference between something enhancing your eye. Although, what's the difference between that? Is it because I'm wearing it?
Because it becomes part of your
body. That's why it goes on Shabbos.
Yeah. So this would be another interesting, and this gets into seeing the zchuchis. Seeing the ish on Shabbos through glass, or lighting Hanukkah candles that are in like, you know, colored glass, would you be able to be yotze that way? So that's his first thing. You're not looking directly at the Torah, which is not what I wanted to get into. Yeah.
On a weekday.
Yeah.
What if you wore some like the Google glasses that they had?
Right.
It would see it, and I'm sure they can make
right.
It so that it would. Then the kudos would be there.
So he has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph, where he asks about what if I had. And you see sometimes Bali Kriya do this. They have a chumash right there, and they look, and then they look, and they look, and then they look. So he assumes that if you do that, you're going to be end up doing it Baal Peh. That's what he assumes. And again, I think Alan knows that most Bali Kriya are working hard to read from this. But then he says, Amnam, in the third paragraph, Afilu neima shukriya satara yasoda kalima datara in lipsochi agavna. Let's say you can do it through, you know, you don't have to see the letters directly. Yesh lachshosh, sheim nira kiminukad vikorekein yispur shazel kasa batara, vaha emes sheasar lanakit atara sheish beze biurim beli shir, vinikudim acherim gamkein. He says it's a problem like the Levush and the Radvaz, that by putting it here, maybe it'll just be a level of Gezerah because it's not actually written in, but you're taking away that level of meaning, which might not mean anything on a conscious level to us, but God wanted this to be left with open, basically. And therefore, again, it's an open debate. If you had the wax on it, are you saying it Baal Peh? The pashtus is that Kri Ksiv, it has to be written. That's for Hilchos Sefer Torah, but I don't need to see it when I read that word. That's the pashtus. And wax is not going to bother. But the Shari Ephraim and Rav Moshe say, God wanted you to look at it and read it a little differently. That was his intention. And I don't know if we can be machria either way from the Radak versus the traditional approach, but it is likely in the traditional approach then that God actually did want to look at that word and read it differently, you know, for some reasons beyond us. At the end of the day, this is, again, traditionally we treat it as halacha l'moshe mi Sinai. The traditional approach is God actually gave the Torah We know Shivim Panim LaTorah, and one of the ways of adding depth and more layers of meaning was the concept of Kri Ksiv. And we have no reason to believe that Ezra actually changed anything. The traditional approach is with the Maharal and the Malbim. And this is one of the tools in God's toolbox. And we've always, even in the other approach, we take it very seriously that if something is Kri Ksiv, that you read it properly. And that's why, you know, the Abua and Walensi, you know, they put this man in Cherem. Because it's part of the Mesorah of how things are supposed to be read. In terms of the Shem Hashem, that's another topic. Is Shem Hashem a standard Kri Ksiv? Is it more than a standard Kri Ksiv? That could be for another time. How the Radak fits in with the Rambam could be for another time, if you're interested. But at the end of the day, the traditional approach is Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai means Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai, and God intended us to read it one way, to see it a different way. This is really the problem with putting Nekudos, because you take away that level of meaning. I think that Lavush might point in Rav Moshe Feinstein's direction that you're supposed to look at the word and read it differently. but at the end of the day, it's how often does it come up that you have wax specifically on a Kri Ksiv? So you know,
this doesn't apply to Sifrei Tanakh, does it? No, it's for Nevi'im and Ksuvim. You can actually write the Nekudos in. I know I've seen a really Gil Sester with Nekud and with.
That's interesting because most Kri Ksivs are in Megillah are in Nach. You know, what would you if you put it in with Nekudos? It wouldn't passel it, but. Would that be lechatchila to write it?
Would you make a bracha? You know, if
would
you
it be?
No,
it's not
an
apostle.
I saw Megillus Esther written out with the Nekud and the Krum.
And that would be
another.
My work cut out for me 3 or 4 Nishirim.